The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Brandi Rolph. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Brandi Rolph.
Hello, I'm Randi Rolph, and I'm your host for Family First, and we have a wonderful show today, so please listen in. We're going to be talking about environmental awareness for kids without scaring them too much. Almost every day we hear of another man-made environmental problem, and our children are at risk for thinking it's hopeless to try to reverse some of the destructive trends or to develop sustainable communities for their future. Yet we want our children to grow up with a sense of responsibility to the environment on which we depend for life. How do we do this without scaring them? And what do they think of us, the adults, who've let our economic system proceed with so little green consciousness? Today we'll be speaking with Don Mazzone, sustainability advocate and expert, about this idea of living together sustainably and about the practices and thinking needed in our homes and within our families and in our businesses even for bringing forth a more sustainable living greater community. Don's one of the growing number of thought leaders building the momentum of social change in which business performance is responsible environmentally and socially, and our children and their attitudes will ultimately determine the future attitudes in business and towards the environment. So I want to tell you a little more about Don before we talk. Don S. Mazzone is a sustainability advocate, social entrepreneur, and educator. After 20 years in communications for Fortune 500 clients, Don decided in 2001 to focus on her passion for building environmental sustainability. Her many awards include the Green Business Award for Chester County, Pennsylvania, and the Penn Futures Platinum Green Power Award for designing a model green business campus. In 2009, Dawn founded Creative Economic Enterprises to help transform business using natural principles. She also is founding member of the Business Standard B Corporation, has chaired the Alliance for a Sustainable Future, which is built on the Earth Charter principles. She co-founded the Mixed Greens Speaker Series and co-produced a wonderful film called Catch the Dreamer, chosen by the Pennsylvania Education Department as the keynote for the 2011 Extra Learning Opportunities Conference. She's a graduate of Westchester University, and Dawn is certified by the Arizona Family Therapy Clinic and by Touch the Future. So I'm really excited to have Dawn share her insights about helping children appreciate sustainability. So welcome to our show, Dawn.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. So let's start by just asking you what originally got you interested in environmental sustainability education, Don?
Well, I think I know that even as a child, I think it starts back then. I thought something must be wrong if there were children starving on the planet. And then as a young adult, I learned that there was enough food. It just was not getting to everyone. And then in the mid-90s, I read extensively and understood how political, global, and corporate structures based on certain powers were having a detrimental impact on the environment and on cultures and people around the world. So I also knew that both business and family were key to working the changes and actually the transformation really that was needed. So in my own one step at a time kind of way, I started moving forward. And what's really exciting about this time is that it's meant to be created and shared together. My green dream meeting your green dream, and together we'll have a wonderful destiny.
Oh, I love that idea of the green dream. I had not heard that anywhere. That's just delightful. Dawn, because of your corporate background, I believe you take a very practical and realistic approach to changing the thinking and activities in the marketplace and in the home. Can you talk a little more about how that's impacted what you're doing today?
Yes. There are some really wonderful models of sustainability in business. And in basic terms, what sustainability in business means is being aware of the impact business has on people, planet, and not just profit. People, planet, and profit is called the new triple bottom line. Not just the bottom line, the triple bottom line. Some of the features of businesses which are corporately responsible are reducing their energy use, reducing the amount of waste products produced, and being actively responsible for how their actions impact others. There is a great model out there. His name is, the CEO's name is Ray Anderson. He's kind of the grandfather of bringing sustainability into business. And he is the founder of a commercial carpet manufacturer, which has locations all over the world. And he, in the mid-90s, realized the impact that the use of resources, commercial carpet uses the resources of oil and water hugely. You know, that's what creates the carpet. And he took it upon himself to inspire his team of thousands of people across the world to take on a zero waste initiative. And he created a culture within his organization that had each individual becoming a leader in what they did and offering it to the organization. And throughout the years, they have tracked what that has meant to the business, and they are reducing their ecological footprint on the planet, as well as boosting their profits. So it's an amazing structure and model for what can be done in business.
Oh, that's so cool. I hope people will learn more about his work. Thank you for showing that there's already wonderful models out there. That's very cool. I often get a question like, I've been a lawyer and now I'm totally involved in helping families, and I'm interested in your combining of environmental sustainability and your studies in child development and education. So can you tell how those relate and how they help each other?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think I could best say that quite simply. In my background in child development is that, number one, children have gifts that they bring into the world from day one. And if we look at parenting as a journey shared between the adults and the children, we can hear and see easily their special talents and promote those talents and interests and go with their inclinations. And I think my opinion is that the world would be a better place if people followed their natural gifts of what they have to offer to the world. And then the other thing is that children learn by modeling and absorbing the energy and enthusiasm that others share for whatever is being presented. So it's up to us as adults to create the enthusiasm about what we're interested in and share that enthusiasm to the children. And if we feel despair or disconnected, we need to work on ourselves to bring in courage and our own abilities to move forward and be enthusiastic.
Oh, I think that's such an important point, that the children pick up on our particular emotional attitude towards these issues. And if we're discouraged and say, oh, well, there's no hope, they're going to pick that up. And if we say, well, what can we do? Things are going to get better. They will pick that up. That's a, a great point. And I think children, it's not something that we have to force on the children to be interested in their community and in preserving nature. That seems to be, that connectedness, I think, is born in children, and it's not that hard to nurture.
I totally agree. I think every child, every teenager, and every adult has an irresistible urge to connect and to contribute. And we can address whatever the environment needs through a courage of moving forward one step at a time and a faith of our own abilities, that we are quite capable, and we become even more capable when we connect to others to resolve a problem. So I think we are born to care. I think it's a birthright. And I actually know this from my year and a half year old grandson. From the moment he could eat off the tray, he wanted to feed others. So I think it's a natural thing for all of us as human beings.
Oh, that's such a good point. My grandson does that. He likes to give his food to others as while he's eating. That's very cute. So I noticed that you had worked based on the principles of John Shelton Pierce, whose wonderful books I read years ago, and I wanted to ask you how that's informed your work.
Yes, I was invited to participate in his development of his most recent book, and the title of that is The Death of Religion and the Rebirth of Spirit, A Return to the Intelligence of the Heart. It may sound like a harsh kind of title in a lot of ways, and actually I offered a much softer title, but the premise of the book is imperative, and the premise is that our institutions have divided and separated us from the most fundamental aspect of humanity, that of our connectedness and heartfelt belonging within the world. So our biggest job now is that we must harness our creative energies and renew a connection to what is cyclical and natural. So that's how it's impacted, you know, all my work. It's fundamental to my own beliefs.
That's cool. Is that book out or coming out?
Yes, it's on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. That's great. And now tell us about the Catch the Dreamer film, how that evolved and how it's being used today.
Sure. I often held sustainability events in Chester County, Pennsylvania. And a friend of mine actually attended. She's a nationally known artist. Her name is Helen Weber. And she said, you know, we need to get this information out there in a bigger way. And we actually met for a year. I think the process, for people to know the process, is important. So we met monthly for a year, trying to decide what would be the most impactful way to get information to people about sustainability. And truly, one day she came down with a book that she had written a few years before called Catch a Dreamer. And it's based on the 10 rights of the children, universal rights of the children. And I said, well, this is what truly our film needs to be about, because it's all about the children. All sustainability efforts are, as William McDonough puts it, for the love of all children of all species of all time. So we created a film to be used as an educational art documentary and to foster learning and ways that children and youth can participate. Within the film are four youth heroes. So individual, either elementary school children or early teenagers who took it upon themselves to do something about major issues in children's lives, issues regarding poverty, issues regarding having unclean water, issues regarding child soldiering. It truly is a statement of the power of one to gather momentum and surround themselves with like-minded people and move forward to addressing big issues.
That's so cool. And we're up on a break, Dawn, but when we come back, I want to talk about how parents can really help their children get involved.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're back with Dawn Maison, who's a sustainability advocate, social entrepreneur, and educator, and we're talking about how to help our children become more environmentally aware and get connected with the natural principles that help with sustainability. And Dawn, we were just talking about the wonderful film you and Helen Weber developed called Catch the Dreamer to empower individuals to make a difference in the world. And can you just tell us how that's being used today to get it out as a educational art film?
Sure. Well, we had the pleasure of introducing it to all the after-school programs that are funded by the state of Pennsylvania through the Department of Education earlier this year. And so truly our hope would be for the film and the book to be used in conjunction with artistic and creative activities to engage the students of whatever age into understanding what kind of impact that they can have on their world.
Oh, that's wonderful, actually, for school children to see that film.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when she was developing it, I saw some of the work that was going into it, and it was such an inspiration. What are some of the things parents can do with their children to help them grasp the idea of living in harmony with the environment, Dawn?
Yeah, well, I would start, first of all, at a very young age and have children learn the pleasures of the natural world, the fun of, you know, seeing how plants grow, developing children's compassion for animals, and that will all serve them well as adults to be compassionate and feel connected to the natural world. I would recommend Richard Love's book, Last Child in the Woods, which actually began a whole movement nationally to point to the fact that, you know, technology has in part pulled our children out of the away from the outdoors, and we need to present that to them again and have them experience that, because those are valuable lessons throughout their lives. Richard Love spoke at the Outdoor Retailer Show back when he first produced the book, and I had the pleasure of seeing him speak. And he said, he asked the audience of about 400 people who were all involved with outdoor activities and outdoor businesses related to the outdoors. And he said, raise your hand if you'd be in this industry if you hadn't had an experience of your connection to the wonderfulness of nature. And no one, of course, raised their hand, because it's in our early years that we get connected to what is real in the world with nature and the love of the outdoors. So, other things that parents can do with their children, middle schoolers love to go bike riding. Bike riding as a family at, age 9, 10, 11 is a wonderful activity, and the children thoroughly enjoy that. Bike riding in the outdoors is something that will stay with them as an adult. There are conversations you can have with your teenagers about, give them an assignment and say, look up on YouTube information about Chris Jordan, for instance, and his amazing photography, which points to how many plastic bags are used in the world. 2,000 plastic bags are used in the U.S. every 5 minutes. His photographs depict this. Have them look at his other photographs depicting 60,000 plastic bags or plastic bottles used in the U.S. every 5 seconds. I mean, these are visual images. Teenagers may be online anyway. Give them an assignment and then tell them to come to the dinner table and talk about it. Those are the kinds of ideas that I would suggest.
Oh, that's wonderful. That would they love searching on the internet and finding that kind of information and the things that they can do, mm-hmm. and tell their friends about it too, as well as the family. Mm-hmm. Those are great examples. So some of the simple habits that people do every day, they can set an example for others, and their parents can set an example for them. Do you have some other suggestions that can help children feel like they are making a difference?
Yes. I think that that parents need to share, why are we weatherizing the home? What kind of impact does that have? It's not just for not financial reason within the home, it's for a bigger reason also. The word eco means home, and it relates to running of the home. So ecology, economy, it's all related to the environment and the impact that one thing has, that and it connects to everything else. I have a quote here from John Muir, who was a wonderful environmentalist, and he said, when we try to pick out anything by itself, we find a hitch to everything else in the universe. And so I think seeing those connections can be grasped from any age.
That's great. I'm right now. I'm just an hour away from Yosemite National Park, which John Muir helped to found, only the second national park in the country. And what an inspiration! His work got it all started. That we couldn't just go into the wilderness and destroy it. We needed to protect it and learn from it. We used to have home economics. It wasn't just about money. It was about managing the home in the community. So what are things that parents can do? I love your idea of just telling kids, talking to them about what you're doing. And if your business starts a paper recycle program, the parents can talk to the kids about why is that happening. And are there some other examples that parents can bring home from their work day that can instruct kids of changes that can be made?
Absolutely. I think that, they should be able to, first of all, within anyone's work environment, they can bring in an environmental consciousness. And perhaps even develop an environmental policy for the business. No matter what level someone is in that business, we can all be leaders wherever we are and whatever role we're playing within a business. And I believe that we have to look at, how we're making things, how we're working, and that includes everything from let's use less packaging when we send things out. Let's recycle the printer cartridges. Let's make sure that we use local food. I think parents taking children to local farmers markets and buying locally produced foods is an important model. Every family can attend green festivals. There are green festivals in every city and town around the country. And people can understand and gain knowledge and find actions that interest them from attending these kinds of places.
Oh, that's really neat. So that's some of the community events that kids can get involved in and see that it's not just their family that's interested in saving the planet. There's communities of people out there that are really moving that consciousness forward. Are there other community projects that maybe families can focus on? I know there's the local co-ops for food and festivals. I wasn't aware of that. That's neat.
Right. Community-supported agricultural projects have kids actually go and pick strawberries and, run through a cornfield. These are the kinds of activities I think are priceless and memorable and valuable to being connected as an adult to do, sustainability work. I also think even vacation can be done in a way that fosters this kind of experience. Take a train somewhere as a family. I think it's memorable and transportation is more efficient. So there are all sorts of ways to do that.
We took our grandson on the local little train through the woods in Westchester just a month ago, and he just loved looking for deer and the stream and watching the wind in the trees. That's a great suggestion. Can you tell me, Dawn, what do you know about what schools and other organizations are doing as far as helping to increase children's power to develop sustainability?
Well, there are wonderful things that schools can do because they can bring in some of the new ways of looking at science and resolving problems. There's a science of finding a way to resolve problems that you might be up against or companies might be up against, and it's called biomimicry. By looking at nature and how nature resolves problems, we can learn a lot. So most things are done with a heat, beat, and treat kind of attitude, which is very energy intensive, and biomimicry actually shifts that view. So in other words, an abalone shell is extremely strong, but it is never, put into any kind of heat or molten process. What it does is send out ions that reconfigures what's needed within the ocean environment, and somehow it knows when it has enough too, and it stops those ions. So studying those kinds of things are absolutely fantastic for high school children, for instance, to study. there, you can see the woman, Janine Banus, speak about this on YouTube videos again. So bringing that into the classrooms is actually quite wonderful. There's some other examples are, there's a researcher named Paul Stamets who is looking into how mushrooms can eat oil spills and rid the world of toxics. Fabulous, leading edge information that is all very hopeful for our future.
Oh, that's really exciting. By the biomimicry, having a new approach to science in the schools. We're up on another break, but please keep listening in. Dawn's sharing so much great information and resources.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hello, we're talking with Dawn Mazzone, who's a sustainability advocate and social entrepreneur and an educator. And we've been talking about some wonderful resources that take a real positive approach to how we can transform our environment, our human environment, in communication and relationship to the natural environment. And she's offered some great resources for schools, for kids who just want to do some research on their PC. And we were discussing some great resources, and you mentioned Janine Banus, was it? And Paul Stamets, studying how mushrooms can gobble up oil spills. And you said you had a couple more.
Yeah, well, there's actually a green building in Zimbabwe that is an extraordinary model. It is modeled after and on termite mounds, how termites build their dust mounds. So it's an office and shopping complex in Zimbabwe, and it's an architectural marvel because it actually works on these same biomimicry principles that I'm talking about. It has no conventional air conditioning or heating, and yet it stays regulated year round with dramatically less energy consumption. And it uses the design methods inspired by the African termites. So in the termite mounds, they build these mounds to house a fungus that is their primary food source. And the fungus must be kept at exactly 87 degrees while the temperatures outside go anywhere from 35 degrees to 104 degrees. And the termites literally are constantly opening and closing vents that they create throughout this dust mound. So using that principle is how this concrete structure has been designed to operate its ventilation system. And so outside air is drawn in and it's either warmed or cooled by the concrete mass that the structure is consisting of. And it vents throughout the building's floors and offices and then through the chimney at the top. And the complex also is basically two buildings that are brought together, and it also takes advantage of the local breezes of the area. So it's an extraordinary marvel. It's possible to build without the energy intensiveness. It's really from ingenuity and biomimicry principles.
Oh, that's very, very exciting. And that raises the question, Dawn, that this is being done, this kind of thing can be done, but yeah. How much of, is it actually being done? Skeptics will say, well, you know, green and natural is just the catchword of the day, and it's just a fad, and the companies say they're all natural and green, but a lot of them aren't doing a whole lot. So can you comment on that?
Absolutely. Green and sustainability, it's not going to go away. It's as huge and as imperative as other, you know, major steps in culture. So in other words, the printing press was a major step and our culture shifted dramatically. The computer came along and it's shifted our culture dramatically. The world is not the same. And for now, up until the 1960s, there were drawings that people did of what the world looked like, but we actually have photographs of what the world looks like as one single planet. And that is a shift in consciousness and a shift in what needs to happen. So that global image is the icon of the cultural shift. Now, the words green and the word sustainability will kind of disappear because it'll be, and of course we're doing it this way. How could we have done it a different way? By using nature's principles and doing things in alignment with nature. Yes, do some companies, you know, what can be referred to as greenwashing, do some companies do that? Yes, but in one way, they are making a meager effort, and they are, you know, promoting it more than what it actually does. It's a step forward, and no one has total integrity in terms of businesses. Everyone is working towards that. So every step is important. And then people, it's through the people understanding more and demanding more that will keep that momentum. But there's no turning back. I think it's here luckily for our new paradigm.
That makes so much sense. That it's such an important point that it isn't going away. Some of the language may change and the consciousness move forward. And the favorite words may shift, but it is a necessity, and it is already in the human consciousness. That seems to make a lot of sense. So another thing that people can do is actually vote with their consumer dollar of how they buy things and how they spend their money on companies that are really making a difference, like you mentioned, Ray Anderson buying carpet that's manufactured in a more caring, using less resources. Yeah. And so How can parents teach their children to vote with their consumer dollar by supporting the more responsible companies? And how can they find out more about what companies are actually doing?
Right. You know, research is going to get involved, you know, is going to be involved. At this stage, many companies are promoting what they're doing on their websites. And, of course, third-party certifications are always, you know, a little bit more reliable, but there are truly wonderful companies out there who are based, you know, their whole foundation is based on these principles. You know, an example of that would be TerraCycle, where they're eliminating the idea of waste, and they turn everything from candy wrappers and chip bags into backpacks and bottles for pet products. So, you know, there are wonderful examples out there. There are companies that are committed to it. You know, doing research is the best way to find out. You know, and then you can go to organizations like B Corp or Green America, which, and there's also a green business listing. So, you know, there are resources, comprehensive resources, as well as individual resources.
Oh, that's great. So that's a project kids could choose to do at school and or just for the fun of it with the family. That's great. You won an award for helping with the Model Green Business Campus. And what would that look like?
Well, we used wind power for electricity, and we used a lot of daylight and large windows for employees, taking care of the employees and your energy resources and how you manage your product in reducing waste and energy. And that can take the form of, you know, functioning in terms of transportation. How much transportation energy are you using? How can you redesign what you're making so that it's more efficient? The Model Green Campus that I was working with, they constructed exhibits and we produced panels that are used in trade shows in a much lighter format that saves on all sorts of energy and transportation costs. When I was showing the people who gave us the award around the campus, they said, "You're doing so much more than recycling." And I said, "Yes, we're redesigning commerce."
Oh, that's wonderful. It's not just about recycling. It's about preventing the use in the first place in many cases. And so much can be done with energy. These are great examples. Thank you so much. I wanted to look at the international connection. You mentioned the Earth Charter and the 10 Rights of Children initiatives. What does that involve? In a few words or less.
Well, it sounds impossible that the whole world could come together to define what a sustainable future would look like. But in 2000, in the year 2000, the Earth Charter was actually released after 13 years of international deliberation among thousands of people from around the world. And it stands uniquely as a first ever global declaration of interdependence and outlines universal values and principles necessary for creating a sustainable future. And, you know, to take it the next step is the Convention of the Rights of the Child was held, and it's the most ratified treaty in the world. So the world all can come together on these, on the importance of all of this.
Oh, that's neat. So, what's the best way for kids to get involved? Can they can look these up on the internet, of course. And are there programs, or I guess it's something they could bring to their school to look at the Rights of Children Initiative and the Earth Charter?
Yes, the Catch a Dreamer film and book can be found on newearthsongs.org. The earthchartercitizens.org is another way that the broader community can be in touch with the Earth Charter principles. And, of course, people can visit creativeeconomyenterprises.com as well.
Oh, great. We're up on another break, Dawn, but we'll be back with some great thoughts to keep families involved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hello again. We're with Dawn Mazzone, who's the founder of Creative Economy Enterprises, which helps to transform business using nature's principles. And she's also certified by the Arizona Family Therapy Clinic, so she knows a lot about child development. And we are really trying to focus in on how to help our children have a really positive attitude towards developing sustainable futures and avoiding any sense of despair that things are getting worse. Things are really happening, and Dawn has shared many, many great resources that kids can plug into. So, Dawn, I wanted to ask you about your idea of design. You mentioned that a lot in your work, and I assume that means deliberately deciding how to improve the way we're doing things. So can you elaborate on that idea of design?
Yes, absolutely. One of the fundamental books about sustainability is Cradle to Cradle, written by William McDonough. And he, too, is spoken on the TED videos, and you can find him speaking, and in 20 minutes have such a clear understanding about sustainability and what needs to get done. He points to that, you know, what is our design intention as humanity? And, you know, if it appears when you hear of all the kind of situations about environmental destruction and species depletion and climate changes and such, that, you know, we're kind of in the de facto plan, but we can take a stand as a species and say, no, we're standing for the love of all children, of all species, for all time. And it has to do with design as a collaborative process. It starts with the full intention on a project, and then using our creative thoughts and ideas together cooperatively will give us, working solutions. So up till now, our society and businesses and culture have been focused on specialization and quick returns, breaking things kind of in compartmental parts. And the design shift is now for understanding systems and long-range solutions and long-range planning and the cycles of nature. So that's in a nutshell what I mean by design.
Oh, that makes so much sense. I remember reading books about the the chaos principle and how things emerge, and design comes out of chaos. And I think that's partly where we are right now.
Where we are.
You also talk a lot, you just mentioned, about working collaboratively with teams and the creative energy and ideas that come out of thinking together. Can you expound a bit on that?
Yeah. Well, we've all inherited a world which has problems and is polarized and is habitual in its negativity and criticism. But our opportunity is to listen to a greater knowing within our own hearts and move from a sense of despair to courage, like I mentioned before. I do it through a process. You know, we all know the three R's of recycle and reuse and repair, but I use the four R's of reflect, respect, restore, and renew. And those are the four R's that will really resolve our direction that we need to take for the future.
That's cool. So as a family, they can think about that reflect, respect, restore.
Reform and restore, yes.
Oh, that's great. And this is something that can be an ongoing conversation within the family, that you talk about the shopping and what companies you're going to support and how you're going to deal with the family waste and so on.
Yeah.
And just actually going outside and connecting and appreciating that we don't just live in little four walls. We are a piece of a much larger whole.
Yes.
And you've been quoted as saying that if humans can contribute to the deterioration of the planet, they can also contribute to its rescue. And that's a very powerful thought, that we make choices all the time. I remember Einstein said that the same kind of thinking which creates a problem is not the thinking that's going to solve it. So I really appreciate the new thinking that you are sharing with us today. What are some, in summary, some of the ideas and practices and points of view that you recommend to families who want their children to move into the courage of constructive action?
Yes, well, I think that every person should be able to live in a socially and economically and environmentally healthy community. And we need to be willing to be uncomfortable, but be in the question. Uncomfortable with the question of, you know, not knowing the answer. Uncomfortable with not knowing the answer and living into the questions. So my questions that I would pose are, what is your green dream? What would you change in the world if you could change one thing? And what is the first step you would take toward that hope? And imagine the impact your decision could make. And you live into the question, how would you improve life on the planet for everyone?
That's great. I just read, I don't know if you, with your children, had the book, the Barba Papas. Do you remember that little book?
Yes.
And I just read it to my grandson, and he loves to read it over again about the strange little amorphous family that helps the planet go green again. And there are so many resources out there, and I love those questions that the family can discuss. You know, what is your green dream? And what would you love to see changed? And what can you do today to make that happen? So those are great ideas. I really would love to see more of that go on, to just have that be a discussion around the snack table.
Yes, exactly, and for every age. There's a new book called Louis Saves the Earth, and it can be found on madeinusachallenge.com. And, you know, it's a sweet book because we can start with our children at a very young age about saving the earth and doing right things for the environment. So, madeinusachallenge.com.
That's great. That's a good place for families to start. And the idea, you know, it's kind of trite to say, oh, I'm trying to save the world, but every one of us can contribute. And that's such a powerful concept. So how can listeners find out more about the Creative Economy Enterprises, your own work with the company you founded, and also the film? How can they make sure that it's being shown in their schools?
Well, they're welcome to visit Creative Economy Enterprises, all spelt out, .com, and newearthsongs.org. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show, and you've really established a real positive view that the changes are happening, and we can all push in that same direction together, Dawn, and keep up the great work. I really appreciate it. Next week, we're going to be talking about emotional intelligence, which is certainly related to this. It's not just about the traditional school R's, but about reflect, respect, restore, reform, and renew. So thanks again, Dawn. I appreciate you being on our show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, and it was a pleasure. Do I have one more minute to say one more thing?
Well, sure. Yes.
Okay. I want to share a quote from Bono when he received the Liberty Medal at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia. He said, when the story of these times get written, we wanted to say that we did all we could, and it was more than anyone could have imagined.
Mm. Ah, it gives me goosebumps. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.